Comprehensive change plans were in play. Weekly booster sessions were in play. But still, the amount, the actual amount of personality change was modest at best. Despite guidance from researchers, 16 weeks was just not long enough for comprehensive personality change to take place. Still, as Hudson and Fraley point out, changing patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving can eventually lead to permanent changes in different personality traits. All right, let me give that to you again. Changing patterns. That's one of the things that experts, professionals look for when trying to help people work through issues. They look for patterns. Patterns of thinking. Patterns of feeling. Patterns of behaving. Changing those. Changing the patterns of thinking. Changing the patterns of feeling. The emotions that we experience. Changing those patterns. And changing the patterns of behaving can eventually lead to permanent changes in different personality traits. One possible reason for this kind of personality change is that people often change their very social identity as well, including how they see themselves. In other words, people who see themselves acting more extroverted may come to view themselves as being more extroverted as a result. So, what do these results suggest? Over the course of our lifetime, we often become more agreeable and conscientious due to greater emotional maturity. Is this just a natural part of aging? Or do our personalities change because we work to make ourselves more agreeable and conscientious? Recognizing that personality can be changed can lead to more effective treatment for people with personality problems, as well as helping to overcome resistance to change. All too frequently, patients insist that they are incapable of change, when actually they're either unwilling to change or they're afraid to try. And there is a huge difference between being unable to change versus being unwilling to change. I think about, again, the comment that I heard on the movie. I think it was entitled The American Dream, and it featured the Jackson Five and their parents. And I remember how Mr. Jackson was really a hard taskmaster who really just took the fun out of living and being musical and singers for his sons to a great extent. And finally, one day, Mrs. Jackson pointed out to him how hard he was, how just driven he was, and how much of a taskmaster he was with his sons. And he said, he looked at her, and I think he may have hesitated for a couple of seconds, and then he said, "That's all I know." And he left it there. "That's all I know." And so he stayed like that. He remained like that. He shouldn't have taken that approach. Mr. Jackson should not have been willing to say, "This is all I know, and that be the end of it." What he should have said is, "You know, this is all I know, but based on what you're sharing with me and the concern that I see in your face, the worry that I hear in your voice, I need to learn more. And so I'm going to find someone to talk with who can help me figure out how to do this better so that I don't make this a chore for our sons any longer." And he could have started with his wife. Mrs. Jackson may have been able to give him some very solid advice on how to continue helping their sons succeed, but without making it a miserable experience in the process. She's the one who noticed that his approach was not a good one. She may have had some ideas as to what would have been a better approach. I'm saying that because I don't want us to be people who get stuck where we are when we could make some positive movement to become better people. Better people, using better approaches that gain better results. Man, life probably would have been so much better for the Jackson Five had they been allowed to enjoy life by having been permitted to enjoy their profession, by not having been driven and driven and driven. I think in some of that, we saw a lot of selfishness on the part of Mr. Jackson. He wanted to make sure they succeeded so he succeeded, so that he would be able to reap the rewards of their success. Either way, he really should have changed and made a much, he should have changed, make life better for his sons. Okay, now, I had mentioned to you that we take a look at a little bit more, with a little bit more detail about those big five personality factors and what they're about. Okay, so here we go. Openness. That has to do with how open we are to new experiences. If you're high in openness, you like trying new things. If you're low in openness, you're more comfortable with what's familiar. What about conscientiousness? This is something that I think a lot of you are going to appreciate. Conscientiousness. It has to do with how dependable and how orderly we are. If you're high in conscientiousness, you're likely to be punctual and to keep your living and working spaces tidy. If you're low in conscientiousness, you don't get uptight about deadlines and you're comfortable in your cluttered environment. I know some of you thinking, well, what about those of us who like being on time, but we're okay with mess too? We don't mind the house being a cluttered mess. We're okay with that. Well, I think that you're somewhere in between. For real, for real. All right. Extroversion. You heard us talking about that quite a bit. Extroversion. That has to do with, as a lot of you already know, how outgoing you are. If you're high in extroversion, you like socializing with lots of other people. If you're low in extroversion, and a lot of people call that introversion, you like having time to yourself. And let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with liking to spend time with other people. There's nothing wrong with liking to have time to yourself. Both of those can be good, especially when, I guess I'm almost reluctant to say this, but let me say it, when balanced. You don't spend so much time socializing with other people that you don't give yourself adequate time to be by yourself. Or to flip it, you don't spend so much time being by yourself that you just refuse to spend time with other people. Okay, we also talked about agreeableness. That has to do with how well you get along with other people. If you're high in agreeableness, you're easygoing and you're happy doing what everyone else is doing. If you're low in agreeableness, you've got to have things your way, no matter what everyone else wants. Now, here's one that probably caused some hairs to stand up on some necks. One of the big five personality factors, neuroticism. That has to do with how emotional stable we are, as you can imagine. How emotionally stable we are. If you're high in neuroticism, you experience big mood swings and you can be quite temperamental. If you're low in neuroticism, your mood is relatively stable and you live your life on a fairly even keel. All right, so those are the big personality five factors. I want to give you a heads up, too. We're going to be talking about those factors again on Sunday when we talk about our personality and our spouses, the impact that marriage can have on our personalities. I'll be back more on Speaking With for today in just a few.